volunteer from the audience to help me with my introduction. You know, we're talking tonight about spiritual gifts. And you think about it, and it's a spiritual gift. Well, what is a gift? Well, it's something that someone gives you, and you unwrap it. Go ahead and unwrap it. It's yours. Thank you for volunteering. That's what it's like to have a spiritual gift. It's something that's given to you, and you unwrap it. You discover what it is. And that's what I want you to hear me say tonight, that it's something that the Holy Spirit gives to each and everyone that is here, if you're a believer. If you have a handout, look on the first page where it says what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to all believers at their conversion to be used to minister to other believers and therefore build up the body of Christ." And I've listed 10 truths here. And let me give credit to my sources, Harold Bullock and Rick Warren and many of the same ones that Dave used, because they're the ones that have come up with a lot of this information that is really helpful. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Every Christian has at least one gift. No one receives all the gifts. No single gift is given to every believer. And like Mark showed us, you can't earn it. It's not something that you work for. It's something that is given to you. If you work for it, then you earn it. But it's something that the Holy Spirit gives you. So you can't earn a spiritual gift. Number six, the Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. The gifts I'm given are permanent. The gifts remain. I am to develop the gifts God gives me. I don't know how good this illustration is, but like Hans and Franz, they were developed. And if you don't use your muscles, they go flabby. You need to develop your spiritual gifts. You need to exercise them. Number nine, it's a sin to waste the gifts God gave me. They're not to be put on the shelf. Number 10, using my gifts glorifies God and grows me. The purpose of spiritual gifts are twofold here. They're not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. Each one of you is a good manager of God's different gifts. I want you to underline this next phrase. Must use for the good of others. The gifts are for the good of others. They're not to help me to get what I want. They're for others. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So underline that phrase, entire church. And the second purpose here is to produce maturity and stability in the church family. It is He who gave gifts to men to build up the body of Christ, so we shall all come together to that oneness of our faith and become mature. Then we shall no longer be children, carried away by waves and blown about by every shifting wind. One way you can achieve stability is get involved in the body of Christ, and you won't get blown away. Here's a couple of cautions about spiritual gifts. Don't confuse gifts with natural talents. These are given by the Holy Spirit. Don't confuse gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit shows my maturity. Gifts show my ministry. It's like two oars on a boat, or like two wings on a plane. As we submit to Jesus and walk hand in hand with Him, fruit begins to emerge. Number three, don't confuse gifts with Christian roles. There may be some pastors that don't have the gift of shepherding. There may be some of you out there who are not pastors, but you have the gift of shepherding. So don't confuse the two. Number four, be aware of the gift projection tendency, where we tend to look at everybody from our own viewpoint. If we have the gift of teaching, we wonder why everybody doesn't love to study and teach like we do. If we have the gift of evangelism, we wonder why everybody's not out there sharing their faith. If we have the gift of organization, it just horrifies us how somebody can be disorganized. So be careful about the gift projection tendency. Realize that using my gifts without love is worthless. Two of the big passages on gifts are 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And right nestled in between them is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It needs to be motivated by love. I may be able to speak the languages of men and even angels. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and all faith to move mountains. But if I have not love, I am nothing. It does no good. Number seven, recognize that I may have both a primary and a secondary ministry in the church or here in the BSU. The primary ministry commitment should be to the area or in the area where I am gifted. And over the years, you will find more, you'll know more about this next year than you do now. You'll know more about this in 10 years than you do now. My secondary ministry includes serving in any other area of the body where I am needed. And sometimes that's where you need to serve. It might be here in the BSU. There may be a need here, but you don't have the gifting. But you may need to serve for now. And then there's some things here on how to discover your gift. You get started. S-T-A-R-T. S is to study. Listen to tapes. Get inventories. Go read books. T is trial and error. And this is a lot better than studying. Just experience. Get out there and just try some of them. Analyze. R is request the input from others. This is helpful too. Ask your friends about this. Ask your friends what they think. Ask your spiritual leaders what they think you have. And the T is training. Take advantage of training opportunities. Three ways God wants you to use your gifts. One is through an ongoing ministry. Two is through short-term projects like retreats, semester missions, even a semester. You might want to take a semester out to do something. Through spontaneous situations like helping with chairs at Vespers, there's an opportunity to use one of your gifts. This is very important here. It's easier to discover your gift through your ministry than to discover your ministry through your gift. As you get involved with the Lord, the gifts will emerge. Unwrapping my gifts. Let's stand and read Romans 12, 3 through 8. Romans 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we welcome you here tonight. And I pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that shows each and every one of us about spiritual gifts and how to apply them to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. listed here in this first paragraph for the all the gift passages, basically, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. And you can go back and read those on your own. All the gifts are given to help the church fulfill its purposes. So what Hope Baptist Church did was categorize them according to their purposes. And I'm just going to use those broad generalizations there. These lists are exemplary, not exhaustive. And also some of the definitions, they're not found in footnotes in your Bible or endnotes somewhere. You had to get a lot of the verses together, like the gift of wisdom. There's no definition of that. And also, since all the gifts aren't listed here, you'll come up with some others out of Scripture. Like, for instance, the gift of celibacy is not mentioned here. And I don't know too many of you out here that are praying for that gift anyway, so we're not going to deal with that one tonight. As you read through the list, check off the ones that you think you might have. Put a check mark by that. There's some blanks there. I'm pretty sure I have this gift. I may have this gift. I don't think I have this one. So put a check mark by those. The first one here, these are gifts that communicate God's word. The first one here is preaching or prophecy. This is sharing. It's not really predicting the future, but it's proclaiming the will of God, what God has already said in his word. This type of person is someone who builds up, fires up, and holds up. This type of person is someone who strengthens others, who motivates them, who comforts them. This is more forthtelling than foretelling. This person helps people know what God is doing. And the thing about this type of person is their life is consistent with their message. They're willing to take a stand. They're great at confronting others, but they don't confront others in order to hurt everybody. They confront them to strengthen them, to motivate them, and to comfort them. Do you think you have this gift? Go ahead and put a check if you think you do. If you don't, if you're pretty sure you don't, check that. Evangelism. The ability to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers in a positive, non-threatening way. The ability to sense opportunities to share Christ and to lead people to respond with faith. This is not just the strong personality types who preach in the big stadiums. Somebody could have the gift of evangelism and be an introvert. This type of person has a great love for non-believers. They sense those who are outside of Christ, and they have a knack for sharing Christ. Do you think you have this gift? Check one of those. Missions. The ability to adapt to different cultures in order to reach unbelievers and help believers from that culture. This person is adaptable. He can adapt in such a way to really communicate Christ. This type of person loves different people groups, either here or overseas. God puts this gifting in your heart to give you the ability to adapt, to bridge the gap, to love a specific people group. It might be South America, it might be Central Asia, it might be Japan. This type of person would love to go to Japan and would have no problem eating sushi. For some of you, sushi might just curl your hair or your stomach both. So this type of person has the ability to adapt. Apostle. Now I'm using, there's four ways apostle is used in the New Testament. One is of the original 12 who followed Jesus. Two is of Paul, James, and Jude who followed Jesus, but not while Jesus was alive here on earth. The third way it's used is apostles of the churches where they were sent out. And the fourth way it's used in the New Testament is of false apostles. But I'm going to use the word apostle in the very technical sense of what, one who is sent out. This type of person builds on no other man's foundation. These type of persons are church starters, overseers. They develop things. They are God's entrepreneurs. They like to found things and get them off the ground. They're risk takers. Do you like to take risks? What have you started in your past? If you've started things in your past, you like to take risks, this might be an indication that you might have this spiritual gift. So check one of those there. The second broad category is gifts that educate God's people. The first one there at the top is teaching. And this is the ability to educate God's people by clearly explaining and applying the Bible in a way that causes them to learn, the ability to equip and train other believers for the ministry. Oh, by the way, when you go through these lists and you don't have one of these, try to think of somebody that you know that does have one and write their name out there beside that. This type of person, when they're speaking or sharing, people just track with them. And they can just really sense where they're going. They stay with them. If you don't have this gift, or you've been around somebody that doesn't have this gift, you may just watch the flies on the wall over there. So this type of person is very systematic. They like to organize truth. They think in lists. They focus on content. They want to get to what the passage understands, the understanding of the passage. This gift needs developed. Encouragement or exhortation. I think Valerie may have this gift, exhortation. I think I have the gift of teaching. Encouragement is the ability to motivate God's people to apply and act on biblical principles, especially when they are discouraged or wavering in their faith. The ability to bring out the best in others and challenge them to develop their potential. This type of person is positive. They are practical. They have good suggestions. They are inspirational. They're action-oriented. They have the ability to visualize success for other people. They leave people motivated. They focus on this is key, the difference between exhortation and teaching. They focus on the content, on the purpose of the content, not the content. A teacher will focus more on the content. An encourager or encouragement will focus on the purpose of it. They drop back and they pick up some principles out of the passage and then say to you, you need to get after this. They say to you, you need to move out and get on with this. And they'll just go right to the heart of the matter here. Wisdom. The next ones here, wisdom, discernment, and knowledge are support gifts underneath teaching or encouragement. Wisdom. I think Valerie may have the gift of wisdom. Is the ability to understand God's perspective on life situations and share those insights in a simple, understandable way. The ability to explain what to do and how to do it. This patient is patient, understanding, and gentle. This person sees how to do things successfully from God's perspective. They have insight into problems, especially into relationships. They see what's going on and go right to the heart of it. Sometimes this can be confused with prophecy because they just go right to the heart of the matter. This one says, this is what's going on in your life, or this is what's happening in this situation. They understand the ways of God, and they are a good mediator of conflict. They give practical suggestions and practical application. They have a strong desire to memorize Scripture so that they can share it with other people. Discernment. The ability to distinguish right from wrong, truth from error, and give an immediate evaluation based on God's Word. The ability to discern whether the source of an experience is Satan, self, or God's Spirit. 1 John 4 talks about that you need to watch out and not just believe every spirit, but you need to test the spirits. This type of person protects the church. They pierce right to the heart of truth and error, whether it's a supernatural truth or error, or whether it's an evangelist on TV. They can know exactly what is truth and error in those situations. This type of person desperately needs to get the Bible under their belt to know exactly what God thinks about matters. The gift of knowledge. I think I may have this gift, the ability to discover, collect, analyze, and organize information that is vital to individual believers or the entire church family. The ability to comprehend a large amount of information and provide it when needed for effective decision making. This type of person loves to get the facts. They love to dig into things, do research, organize, outline things. They love to study. They don't mind doing data work. They don't mind processing information. I can remember last week I went to a government farm meeting of all boring things. And they showed all these charts and graphs and all this data across the United States. And I thought, man, I want to know where they got that. I want to know how they organized that. And some of you guys are out there thinking, that sounds like the most boring thing. Well, you may not have this gift if that's what you think. This type of person would make a good researcher. When I was in graduate school at OU, I was paid to do research for the University of Oklahoma and spent my time in the library, and I loved it. I loved doing research. Maybe they're good with computers. I say maybe. I'm still struggling at this one. Maybe they're good at dealing with libraries. They like to study in them. They like to maybe organize them or work in them, or they might like to collect one. I think that's where I'm at. I like to collect one. They might even make a good curriculum writer. Do you think you have that gift? Put a check by one of those. If you don't, check that. The third category, broad category, is gifts that demonstrate God's love. Oh, by the way, there are some practical ways that you can test this gift out. And Dave may dispel some of the things I'm going to say up here, but I'm going to step out on a limb here, or Max. But Bobby Pruitt over spring break and Dwayne Gregory are going to need a couple of people to, on these Colorado campus tours that they're talking about, they're going to need some people to work with their computers. And if you think you have this gift of knowledge, that might be a way you can test it out. Just go work with the data that they're talking about and see if you have that gift. Service. We're on page 5. The gift of helps. Service. The ability to recognize unmet needs in the church family and take the initiative to provide practical assistance quickly, cheerfully, and without a need for recognition. This type of person takes the initiative just to serve practically and cheerfully. They see a need and take the initiative. You don't have to ask them to put up chairs after Vespers. They just do it. This person works great just with their hands, like Mike Oltman's that is around the BSU. Max asked him one day to put a phone downstairs, and Max didn't have to tell him any specifics. He just did it. He's good with his hands. They rarely are arrogant. They don't necessarily like to be on stage. They don't mind. Or they don't like being in the limelight. This type of person, you can really see how God's love is demonstrated through them. Another practical thing that you might be able to test out whether or not you had this gift, as they're again on these campus tours that they're going to have the meeting right after Vespers. Bobby Pruitt's going to need someone to help sheetrock his house. If you have the gift of service, you might, or think you do, you might want to do that. The gift of mercy is the ability to detect hurt and empathize with those who are suffering in the church family. The ability to provide compassionate and cheerful support to those who experience distress, crisis, or pain. Luke 10 talks about the Good Samaritan, and this is, it doesn't use the word mercy there, but this is an example of a mercy shower. The Good Samaritan comes along, and there's this guy all beat up on the ground, and he comes along and he takes him, he piles him in his BMW, and he takes him over here to the Holiday Inn, and he gives him his Visa, and he says, put it on my tab. And then he takes off. That's an example of a mercy shower. This type of person has a lot of relationships, but they tend to have a hard time getting around to the truth sometimes. But they have a lot of relationships. They have a great ability to empathize with those. There's a good friend of mine who is a nurse that had this gift. So nurses do, people with mercy do make good nurses. They're great with support groups. They reach out and touch and care for those who are hurting. Another thing that you might not think of mercy as, but they are also good at greeting new people. New people feel welcome with them. So that if you want to test this gift out, ask people if you can greet people at Vespers. Because you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And we want a good first impression at the BSU. And so if you have this gift, you might want to test it out with greeting. Hospitality is the ability to make others, especially strangers, feel warmly welcomed, accepted, and comfortable in the church family. The ability to coordinate factors that promote fellowship. These type of people are great conversationalists, good at getting people to talk, drawing them out. They're good at providing meals. There's a difference, though, between hospitality and entertaining. Hospitality is where you go into someone's home and they make you feel welcome. And you'd love to stay there. You'd love to go to the refrigerator. But entertaining is where you go in someone's house and you're scared to sit on the sofa. In my terms, it's not childproofed in this house. You're afraid to touch anything. It might break. There's a difference between entertaining and hospitality. Pastoring. Do you think you have this gift? Check one of those. Pretty sure I have it. May have it or don't think I do. Pastoring or shepherding is the ability to care for the spiritual needs of a group of believers and equip them for ministry. The ability to nurture a small group of in spiritual growth and assume responsibility for their welfare. This type of person likes to lead, feed, and protect. They love to look over the lives of others, not to control them, but to care for them. They care compassionately for people, and they like to draw them into growth. Do you think you have this gift? This would be an excellent gift to have as a Bible study leader. Giving. The ability to generously contribute material resources and or money beyond the 10% tithe so that the body may grow and be strengthened. The ability to earn and manage money so it may be given to the support and the ministry of others. This type of person loves to give. You don't have to tell them to give 10% of their money. You'll never, have to just go and just hand on this person to give. They love to give. They're usually happy people. It's a joy for them to give. And they're sometimes successful. R.G. Letourneau, who is the founder of the big earth-moving, dirt-moving equipment, he started out giving 10% of his money, and then after that he gave 20, 30, and all the way up to 90% of his money years later. And then he was still a multi-millionaire. One practical way you could do this is we have the Glenn Must Trust. If you think you have this gift, you can start out by giving. If you don't have this gift, you can still give and then later figure out whether or not you have this gift. Number four, gifts that celebrate God's presence. Music. The ability to celebrate God's presence through music, either vocal or instrumental, and to lead the church family to worship. The thing about this gift is this type of person needs to learn to serve with it. Because in our society, musicians are lifted up so high that they are worshipped. And so this, especially in the church and the BSU, this type of person needs to learn to serve. Arts and crafts. Exodus 31 talks about how the Lord's getting His temple ready and preparing it to build. And He has these people who are good at that. Arts and crafts. The ability to to build and maintain or beautify the place of the worship of for God's glory. The ability to express worship and minister through a variety of art forms like drama, like painting. There's a good friend of Max's, Larry Dyke, that paints. The thing about this gift, though, is it's like a diamond. A diamond is very pretty, but it looks best in a setting. You could glue it to your finger and it would look okay, but it looks best in a gold setting. So a person with this gift will work best in a setting of the body of believers. And here's four prayer related gifts: intercession, healing, miracles, and praying with my spirit. Intercession. The ability to pray for the needs of others in the church family over an extended period of time on a regular basis, the ability to persist in prayer and not to be discouraged until answers arrive. This person can pray for hours and hours and hours. They pray and pray and pray until the answers come. Does God keep drawing you into extended times of prayer? You know, there's a lot of opportunities to test out whether you have this gift. The Friday morning prayers for the world, the BSU Must Trust prayer times. There's a lot of chances that you can test out whether or not you have this gift. And I want you to understand that if you think you don't have the gift of prayer, you still need to pray. If you don't, you need to exercise all of these, not just say, well, I don't have the gift of service. There's no way I'm going to clean up that mess I just made. You know, you need to go ahead and serve sometimes, even though you don't have the gift. You need to pray, even though you might not have the gift of extended times of prayer. Healing. The ability to pray in faith, specifically for people who need physical, emotional, spiritual healing, and see God answer. The ability to sense when God is prompting you to pray this kind of prayer. This is a pretty obvious gift, whether or not you have it. You pray for somebody, they're not healed, you might not have this gift. You pray for somebody, and they're healed, you probably have this gift. Harold Bullock tells a story about he took antibiotics for 6 weeks for an ear infection, and it never got better. And then a good friend of his came into town, and he said, well, brother, before you leave, why don't you pray for my ear? So he prayed for his ear, and about 10 minutes after he left, there was this burning sensation in his ear, and it was healed. That man had the gift of healing. Miracles. The ability to pray in faith specifically for God's supernatural intervention into an impossible situation and see God answer. The ability to sense when God is prompting you to pray this kind of prayer. This is a pretty obvious one too. Praying with my spirit. Tongues or interpretation of tongues. The ability to pray in a language understood only by God or one who is given the spirit of interpretation. This type gift edifies or builds up self. Some reasons why it's not allowed in the services are, number one, it's for personal. This type of gift is for personal edification. Number two, we are to focus on building up others, not ourselves. Number three, it confuses unbelievers in the service. And number four, ideally, it is not meant to be used in worship services. 1 Corinthians 14:19-20 says, in a church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul is saying, I'd rather say, Jesus loves me, praise God, than he would to be able to speak 10,000 words in a tongue. Gifts that support all four purposes. Leadership. I think Max may have this gift. The ability to clarify and communicate the purpose and direction, the vision of a ministry in a way that attracts others to get involved. The ability to motivate others by example to work together in accomplishing the ministry goal. One question you can ask yourself if you think you might have this gift is anybody following you? There's an old proverb that says, he who thinketh he leadeth when nobody followeth is merely taketh a walk. So leadership is influence. Leadership has a long-term perspective, change-oriented with a vision. Now, administration, next page, on the other hand, I think Dave has the gift of administration. The difference between administration and leadership is management versus the leadership. Management is short-term. Leadership is long-term. Management is control. Leadership is change. Management hands out tasks. Leadership is vision. They get people motivated. Administration. The ability to recognize the gifts of others and to recruit them into ministry. The ability to organize and manage people, resources, and time for effective ministry. The ability to coordinate many details and execute the plans of leadership. These type of people look for more effective ways to do things. They can juggle several things at a time. You ought to look at Dave's plate. I mean, he can juggle a lot of things at once. They can delegate and get people involved. They have ability to work with details and not lose sight of the big picture. Dave is good at that. He can work with a lot of details and not lose sight of the big picture where we're going. Faith. I think Max may have this gift. Harold has this gift. Harold Bullock. The ability to trust God for what cannot be seen and to act on God's promise regardless of what the circumstances indicate. The willingness to risk failure in the pursuit of God-given vision, expecting God to handle all the obstacles. This type of person perseveres. They're positive. They trust God for the impossible. They love to take risks. They're not afraid to go out on a limb. Someone said, I'm not afraid to go out on a limb because that's where all the fruit is. Another thing that is said about this is an oak tree is a little nut that refused to give its ground. These type of people are big dreamers. They have big vision, ability to keep trusting God for things, even when others say, I don't know how he does it. The purpose of this material is twofold, is to help you to identify your gifts. Some of you still may not know where your gifts are, but take this home, pray over it, and you'll know more next year than you do this year. You'll know more 5 years, 10 years, even 15 years. So don't think you have to know it all this week. The second thing is to help others to give you feedback, so you can get feedback, so you can be encouraged by them. Spiritual gifts will begin to help you orient to the kinds of tasks God has for you, His calling for your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and giving us the gift of the Spirit. And we thank you for giving us the gifts through the Spirit. And I pray that you would use this in our lives to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.